Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and...
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with you. And what's going on, everybody?
I would think, again, they were down. And I think if there wasn't any geopolitical stuff today, I think the markets might have been up. Now, they looked like they were starting up. I didn't like that at the beginning with, but... And they did fall apart, and it all kind of coincided with when Netanyahu came out and spoke and talked about Iran, and you saw oil spike. I do think the top, I am declaring a top in oil now. I'm not even saying levels. I'm just saying sell. We'll see. We'll see what happens here. But I would think this might have been the final blow off. But a lot going on, and then nothing going on. But we do have the Fed this week, and we have jobs number. And we got a ton of earnings coming out, so we'll see how it all plays out. Lots of stuff going on, and we'll have to just kind of bide our time and look for the right levels and the right positions to get in. In the meantime, we start every call with our words of wisdom from our friend Connie. I have no special talent. I'm only passionately curious. Albert Einstein. And, you know, that's one of the things about being successful in this business is to keep experimenting and be curious and continue to look at the markets from all points of view. The only point of view we don't ever want to look at is the one that uses our opinion to look at it. Because at the end of the day, our opinions are, you can fill in the blank. Everybody's got one. So, I always have an opinion, but I don't always trade my opinion. I just have an opinion. But you have to really trade the markets and the charts, and that's really what it comes down to. And, of course, can anybody guess what my bitch is going to be tonight? Anybody got a clue before I flip to it? All right. Okay, so nobody's got a clue. Okay, cool. No. It's got to do with the correspondence dinner, and it's the moron Michelle Wolf. I mean, you know, that was so anti everything. And I think that's one of the problems in this country. I don't care if you're left or right. Nobody could have appreciated what that moron did at the correspondence dinner. I just think that it's just so dumb and so stupid that it just, I hate to even bring it up as part of a bitch, but it pissed me off all day. Okay. That we have to tolerate people that want this country to fail at any cost. To me, it's just silly. No, it wasn't funny. It was just moronic. Okay. But anyways, all right, we're going to move on because I don't even want to talk about it anymore. I hate her. All right. So today the Dow was down 150, still kind of maintaining that little bit of a downtrend. Now the Dow is still above our actual line. But we may be potentially starting a new one again. To me, it looks like we're going to take out new lows first. That would be my guess. If I were going to guess it, we're going to come down here first before we see any real rally coming back. Today's volume, although in the Dow was mediocre, and everything else was very quiet. So it was really a pretty dull market. And I would have thought that again, barring any outside news, you might have seen a rally today. I mean, it did try to rally early, but it did fail. In the meantime, I think 25,000, I think it's 23.5-ish, which is the lows, or near the lows, and to 25. In between, I just kind of watch. I don't think there's a lot to do here. We just need to let the market, again, when the volume starts declining again, just nothing real exciting. The S&P, Sierra Papa X-ray. That, however, is remaining in a downtrend as well. Actually, the futures are. The cash is not. But again, here I would say 2,700 to, you know, 2,550. All right. Now, there looks like there'll be a little bit of support around 2,625. Again, and if you're playing in a very short term, you know, you're never going to be wrong if you have a plan and you're playing in a very short term to make a trade. Okay, you can lose money, but you never can be wrong if you're actually following the market footprint. You know, I think I still see this as going lower. I'm still a seller on rallies. I am actually short futures right now, and I'm short oil right now. And give full disclosure, I'm short the Canadian dollar right now. So again, among other positions, but that's what I see here. I don't see anything all that exciting, nor anything that would lead me to believe that I'd want to be a buyer yet. Now, it doesn't mean that can't change, but right now, I think you want to sell the rallies. And right now, I would think that the 2,700 would be a great spot if you ever got there. The NASDAQ, Charlie Oscar, Michael Peter. Okay, now this has now started a new downtrend, and we've got kind of a channel, so we should probably look for probably 6,850 to, you know, maybe 7,300. And I'm giving you wide ranges because, again, what I want everybody to try to learn from is I don't want to get involved when markets are quiet. I want to wait for the bigger move. I want to wait for more of the volatility to show up. It's not important to get necessarily to catch every tick. Now, again, if you're a short-term trader, you know, and you're trying to get your short term as you do if you take the futures and you're in the 4-minute deal, then that's a different story. That's a whole different chart that you're looking at. That's a whole different purpose behind the market. Okay. But if you're looking for quick ins and outs, then you can look at some tighter levels and know what you're trying to look for. But again, this nothing looks all that great. So I'd more lean to selling into a rally and the general markets. Now, again, individual stocks are either way. In fact, you'll see that I'm long a bunch of stocks going into earnings, into their earnings. The Russell really got pounded today, too. That was interesting. It pelted. Okay, now this is still the strongest of the bunch. Okay, even though it got drilled today, it's still the strongest of the bunch. I would say that this may be support 1540. Now, I'm not going to buy it at 1540, but that would probably be a level you'd want to look at. Maybe 1520 to 1500, but certainly I'd be a seller at 1580. Okay. My audio is here. I don't know. I don't even need a mic. I could talk. I talk loud enough without it. How was that candy? Is it good? Okay, I don't like dark chocolate, so I hope you, I know you do. So, but anyways, so I'd say 1580, 1520, 1500, but 1540, again, it could pop right from there. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
And of course, you know, these are the things that we always are trying to watch and make sure that we understand the market formation. As you saw today, the markets looked like they were going to go one way, and then they turned around and went the other way. And that's something that we always have to watch as we trade to make sure we understand the levels. That's really what it comes down to. And that's really how we look at things when we trade. We want to make sure that we understand that the markets are the markets and they work the way they work. And that's where our best view comes in. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, I want to remind you to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is available to you free. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com, and every day I send you a little bit of a video about what's going on in the markets and what I expect to happen tomorrow. So you can get that for free at BubbaTrading.com. And don't forget to download the show each and every day at LibertyTalk.fm. They're the only station you need because we've got 24-hour-a-day programming on everything. We're going to step out here for break. This is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back with more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back to you. Welcome back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and let's get back to it. Here we go.
Crude. All right, I am. We've been bearish this, and you know it hasn't been great. It hasn't been horrible. I mean, but here I am now declaring a top. All right. Today's blow off action, all on the news. If you're watching it, here, this is just an important little teaching moment. All right. Right about here is when Netanyahu started to speak and they started talking about Iran and what was going on and all and so on and so forth. And phew, we were down and then all of a sudden we were up and then we broke late in the day. So in my eyes, this is very topping action. It fits into what I'm thinking anyways. And now that the news is officially out, I think the fear is gone and I think we'll start to see some selling. So I'm a seller, 69. I put out a sale today for the futures people at 68.55. We are sellers, all right? Without question, I'm going to be a seller. And again, I don't see any reason to be a buyer. I wouldn't even think about being a buyer until the 50s. Now, it doesn't mean that I won't adjust my stops or adjust my position if we don't get down that far. And the first spot you'd have to look at would be probably 67 or 66 would be the first levels you'd be looking at. Okay. So, but again, to me, the top has now officially been put in. Gold, Golf Charlie. Now, gold is continuing in this consolidation pattern. Now, we're very oversold. We've got an oversold bounce on Friday. We got an oversold bounce. Today, we get sold all the way down to 1310 almost, which is one of my levels. And then we bounce back up, and then we sold off late again. You can only be a buyer of gold here if you're going to trade it. Okay. I would not be a seller until 1330. Right? And that's what I would look for. All right. Is 1330 to be a seller, 1340. Now if we stay in these conditions and they drip right down to 1310 again tomorrow, it's probably worth a trade to the long side as a buy. What's interesting about it is the GLD options. We don't cover GLD anymore, but the GLD options are very low. They're very low volatility, which doesn't make a lot of sense. So I would say that there's probably going to be another little bit of a bounce, but there's a chance now that we could go back into the high 1200s from here. Okay. Now again, I don't think it'll go from here, and of course that could time in with the Fed on Wednesday or the jobs number on Friday. So there's a lot of reasons that you can expect a big move in gold. But certainly if you got a big spike up, I think you definitely want to be a seller. The bonds, Zulu Bravo. As we thought, we got very oversold, and you got a bounce. That's not surprising, okay? 144 is where I'm selling, okay? 144, and if it goes through, I'll sell more at 145. This will be dramatically or potentially dramatically affected by the Federal Reserve. This is directly tied to interest rates, and people are betting right now on what interest rates will do. All right. And the banks have bought a lot of treasuries, which means they think that the interest rates may go back down again, which they don't really want to see. So they're trying to cover up. But at the end of the day, I think that this is 144 is a selling opportunity, 145. I would now not be a buyer until 140, which you obviously don't even see on the screen, but it would have to get really oversold again before I would look to make a trade to the long side. The dollar. And as we said, we say it every week, but here we finally, we got it and we're going higher. All right. Now, again, I would not at all be surprised to see the dollar sell off a little bit from here. I'm a buyer at 91 now. We bought originally at 88, 89. Now we're buyers at 91 on a pullback. Their dollar's going higher, right? The Fed has lost control. I don't care what they do now. It's obvious if you look at the worldwide currencies, it's going higher. And you can't buy it now. You need to wait for a little bit of a pullback. But if you're in, all right, again, this is a long-term position. This is like for me, like almost holding gold. Okay, I bought the dollars. And I'm staying in it, and I won't even think about getting out unless we break through 91. I think we go to 95 is our next stop, the way that I look at it. And I think before the year's over, it's trading at a dollar, which is called par. The euro currency, of course, obviously direct opposite. So now the euro currency is at a level of potential support, extremely oversold. Look for a bounce. Now, this would be a trade that you could make on a very short-term basis, maybe if they flush it, I think the ECB is talking tomorrow. I think there's something going on. I don't remember, but if they tank it hard, one thing you always want to look at in any market, if they either run it up too fast or drill it too early, and I'm not talking about a gradual sell-off. I'm talking about they just give it a drill job. You figure you're going to get a bounce, or you figure you're going to get a sell, depending on which side they're going. All right, and that's what I'd be looking for. So as a very short-term trade, if they could take this down to, let's say, 120, okay, or 120 and a half, I would take a shot to the long side just as a trade, okay, because it can spike back a full point, a full penny. These are trading pennies. This is $1.21, 21. So I think that that's probably what you'd look for. I would be definitely a seller at 122.50. All right. But as far as I'd like to look for a spot to buy it as a trade. All right. That's what I'm looking for here now is a quick trade that I could be in for an hour. I could be in for a day. It's not going to be long because, again, I'd be looking for a quick, sharp recovery that would take me back to resistance. The British pound, as we thought, came all the way back, and we wanted to be buyers around the 139 level. It broke there. I think the last chance garage would be probably 137, and I would be a buyer there. I think that, again, this is another very oversold condition, but I do like the British pound better. It's got a cleaner chart, and really we're just coming down to the bottom end of consolidation again. And, of course, our good old pal, the VIX, which wasn't up as much as you would have thought today. And here we are down at the bottom. So if you remember last week, we said, you know, it popped off, but now we came back in. I'd be looking to buy volatility. All right. This is the times that you could look at options from a naked perspective. You want to just buy a call, buy a put type of thing. Because I think we're going to get a bounce in volatility no matter what the markets are going to do in the next 10 days. Let's say, I think we get a little bit of a pop in volatility. I think this is showing a pretty solid consolidation. Excuse me. Pretty solid consolidation pattern. So I would not be surprised at all to see a little bit of a bouncer. You know, I don't never recommend that didn't sound very good. I never recommend the VXX. Excuse me. But for a very short term trade, and again, this has to be like a day or two, you could try to play this. I'm not going to give you an exact trade. You could look at it. I don't like it. I don't typically ever trade it. I just trade the markets themselves. This to me is a crooked product. But if anybody wants to try to play it, that's the best way to try to play it is through the VXX.
And of course, you know, again, I believe that the leverage products are phony, but again, they're fine for a very short time period, for a very short frame. And as you noticed on Tuesday, the VXX was down when the market was down, which didn't make a lot of sense. And then it popped a little bit and then it broke down and got clobbered. So again, it's not a great product. It's not one that I choose as a rule. But again, if you're looking for a quick pop in volatility, or you're looking for something like that, that's what you would be looking for. At the end of the day, the markets are, you know, Tuesday was no surprise that they turned around. You could kind of see what was going on, and the VIX was lagging the markets. The VIX was, when the market was down 300, the VIX was barely unchanged. It was down about 40 cents or something like that, which is obviously nothing. So it was pretty evident that the markets were looking to potentially make a change, and of course they did. Now, you know, again, you saw the NASDAQ went crazy, and the Dow come from down 370, I think, came back to be almost flat. So again, but these are things you can expect. You know, these happen all the time, and this is why you never chase the market in one direction or the other. If it gets too far away, you wait for the opportunity to get back in, and then you look to make your move from there. Very important to understand the difference, and this is for when you're trading. When you're investing, you shouldn't even be watching. That's really the facts of the matter. In the meantime, don't forget my high school investing program, highschoolinvesting.com. You can check it out. It's a curriculum we give away free to high schools, and I finance it, but now I'm looking for help from you. So if you want to help us out, go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. That's Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading, and you can help us out there. And of course, don't forget to download The Bubba Show each and every day at libertytalk.fm, the only station you need where we give you 24-hour day programming. So make sure you check out libertytalk.fm and download the show. And we're going to stop by here for a break. And we'll be back with more of The Bubba Show after the break. Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. We're coming right back to you.
Welcome
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and we're going to look at some news items. Here we go.
Is the U.S. headed for an imminent debt crisis? Well, I don't know. We've got foreclosures everywhere. You got credit card debt at record highs. You've got auto loans at record highs, and you've got student debt at record highs. How's all that going to get paid back? And especially if interest rates start to rise, then what's going to happen? You know, not to mention the old U.S. debt, okay, which is goes back to the trade wars, which is why there's not going to be one, because we owe the money. I'll go over it later. Are you still trying to argue with me on that point of why I sold it versus buying it? Is that why you want me to go over it? I'd be happy to do it, but I'm just curious. Are you still looking at it for that reason? I mean, it went down to 77.60. It just happened to pop because of oil running on empty. I mean, I think everything's kind of running on empty right now. I don't see anything that is, you know, that is that encouraging in anywhere in the economy right now. There's a lot of things that I could find discouraging. I can find a lot of things that are problematic in the longer term. But I don't think there's anything more problematic than the pundits telling you that the markets are different this time, that the whole economy is different this time. Wealthy donors, Soros spends $50 million for private Trump Russia investigation. Is this not another more? This could have been my bitch instead. Is this not another moronic thing? I urge you, any of you, to go read about George Soros. Okay, I'm not going to badmouth him here, although I hate him. Okay, but I urge you to go read about him. Okay, read about when he was a kid and what he did. Okay, because this is about as moronic. This is like getting in an airplane and wanting it to crash. I mean, you know, are we going to go for this for another 2 years and then another 4 years after that? It's become ridiculous already, and it's just anti-American, in my opinion. Spain dude. Home One Mortgage and revised home positive mortgage income limits. Are you kidding? Freddie Mac launches 3% down mortgage with no income restrictions. Did we not go through this once? Are we going to go through it again? I mean, it's amazing that we just never learn. Stock market way ahead of economic growth. It's always ahead of economic growth. Okay, I mean, the fact of the matter is the stock market, when it left to its own devices and left to just pure trading and letting asset classes price themselves, it's always well ahead of the economy because they're telling you either economy is good or is it bad. And, you know, they're looking 6 months forward and the markets are now starting to sell off, which means that they believe that the earnings are not good enough to continue this. You know, again, and when you price in 16, 17, 18 times earnings, it's not a shock that it would be expected that they would start to fall a little bit. As you know, and I say this probably almost every week, but if I don't, then I will anyways. It's the markets go up 8% year over year. They just don't go up every year. At some point, there's going to be a meltdown, and the stock markets are going to get, if they get off the heroin from the Fed and the rates start rising, then that money isn't so cheap anymore. It's not so easy to convert the money into stock and know that you're going to get more on the dividends than you're paying interest rates. There's a whole bunch of things going on here. So, but again, I wouldn't be surprised. Americans are hoarding money in their checking accounts. Okay. Well, again, people don't have much. All right. They're making less money. They're not doing much, and they don't want to get involved, and they're not spending as much. Why? Because they don't have that much, and their jobs are not that good. Look, everything ties together to exactly what I've said all along. There's not people in, you know, in certain parts of the country, I'm sure people are making a lot of money. But in the general economy, the general country, the general middle class are not thriving as they should be based on what everything else that's going on. The best time to invest. It's always, listen, you should be investing either every week, every month, whatever it is, how you do it. And if you have mutual funds or whatever, however anybody does some of their investing, and you should always invest. I mean, especially if you're hedged, but even if you're not hedged, you should always be investing as long as you're putting in money that you can afford. You know, the only thing you never want to invest money if you're going to need the money tomorrow. Okay. Cause you never want to be forced to sell. But if you have money and if you pay yourself first, as they say every month or however often, you should always take whatever you can afford, $50, $100, $200, whatever it happens to be, and throw it into the market, okay? And throw it into a mutual fund or whatever, something that pays a dividend, understanding the fact that, A, if you're hedged, you have nothing to worry about. Even if you're not hedged, the market's going to go up 8%. So is it better to have it sit in your checking account at zero, or is it better to have a chance to have it grow for you? Now, I'm not telling you to take your whole life savings. I'm telling you that you should just continue to always invest. And if you'd have done that for the last 30 years and put away $200 a month for 30 years, you'd be a millionaire. If you didn't get caught up in the the emotions of the market, which is why I always try to tell everybody that when I give you my trading opinion, that's one opinion, but my investing opinion is totally different. We may have reached the highs for the year. If you don't know who that is, that's David Tepper, one of the smartest guys in the world, Appaloosa Trading. He was the first guy that was all over this Fed stuff in 08 and 09. Okay. He went from a hefty millionaire to a billionaire by catching on to this. And again, I'm not saying he's right. I'm just saying that if he's going to start to sell, he's very well recognized, and it could have some meaning. And of course, the market's always at the end of a rally. You're getting in a lot of they call it the dumb money. Okay, the late to the party, the ones that weren't involved the entire time, that are putting everything in now, trying to get everything else. Okay. U.S. crude rigs hit March 2, 2015 highs. Hey, look, we're pumping so much oil, yet oil's going up. But this goes back to the formation of backwardation and contango. This is all a fear trade right now. You saw it in live time. If you were watching the market today, you saw it in live time that oil is being driven by the fear and not by actual fundamentals. Now, we are not fundamental traders, but this is what you're seeing right now. And this story, like every other time in history, will end very ugly. And if you just go back and look, just take a peek at this, because I want to make this point. I need to go to, how many years ago was 14? That was 4 years ago. Okay. All right. So let's go back. Let's use... use a 10-year monthly chart, and then we'll go to crude oil. Okay. In 2014, this is, I believe, July. Oh, it's June. Okay, I knew it was right there. In June, we had the exact same formation we have now. Okay? The markets were charging up, but I kept saying to everybody, look, the December oil is cheaper than June oil, which is not the right formation. And sure enough, what happened? We peaked and we went right down to $40 before going to $26. All right. You are now in the same exact formation right now that we were there then, that the markets are in backwardation. And what that means is that here, June oil is more expensive than July and more expensive than August and all the way back. So if we go out to December oil is $2 cheaper or $3 cheaper than June. That is incorrect from a fundamental standpoint. That would be, nobody would let somebody buy futures at a discount to cash. Okay. So what this says is that the markets are in turmoil. There's fear. Now, it doesn't mean they can't spike a little higher. It doesn't mean you can't see what we just saw, but I guarantee that you'll end up in the same crapper. okay, that happened in 2014. It always happens. This is not a new story. This is backwardation and contango at its finest. Would 7-year BBB corporate bonds be a bad investment now, or a better wait for leveling off of interest? It depends on what the rate they're paying. Who is it and what's the rate? I'll give you a better answer. That's too blind of a question for me to answer. Okay? So if you tell me the rate and who it is, I'll give you my opinion. I doesn't mean I'm right, but I'll give you my opinion. Commodities in the S&P move in opposite directions. No kidding. I've been the guy that's been on CNBC Asia and all the other ones saying you should be buying grains and selling stocks. Grains have exploded, okay, and stocks have sold off a little bit. Now, again, what happens is, and my whole thesis behind all this, is that money that comes out of equities, there's always money to be invested, right? We talk about that all the time. Money flows in every day. But now what happens is people will start to look for some alternatives when they see the market start to sell off, and the perfect alternative is always grains and livestock. Precious metals are getting pounded as dollar rebounds. Now, the reason I put this in, I take issue with that. The precious metals are getting pounded because that's the pattern they're in. They did not benefit when the dollar went down to lows. They didn't. Gold wasn't spiking. Okay, and now it's going down. So they need an excuse. The excuse is right now that the pattern suggests that they could go a little bit lower. It has nothing to do with the dollar. The dollar is an instrument now in the fiat currency world, which is being manipulated by the central banks around the globe for one reason, either to create more export from their inventory, like right now the Brazilian real, which is a soybean exporter, their Brazilian reals were zero right now because they're exporting at record numbers. Well, of course they are. But at the end of the day, what's really happening is this is the only way the central banks and the Federal Reserve can combat interest rates rising by trying to control the dollar.
And this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Remember to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm. And don't forget that Liberty Talk is your only station that you need. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And here we go.
Well, they lost control as I thought they would, and the dollar's starting to spike higher. And if you believe that it's killing gold and silver, then why isn't it killing corn and wheat? Okay, why isn't it killing oil? They're all priced in the same dollar-denominated fashion. So that's the fallacy and that BS. Soft data continues to collapse. Chicago PMI first year-over-year drop in 15 months. Not a surprise. Again, look, you're going to see a lot more of these news items come out. But what's going to happen, and what always happens, is we continue to ignore them. And I'm not telling you to be fundamental traders. Remember, we're technical traders. I don't really care what the data is. I only share it with you guys because we do it. I don't use any of this information that doesn't necessarily trade with. Okay. But at the end of the day, you're going to see more bad news. But what you need to see is that the market is going to go higher from here. It needs to take out a number of levels, which we've talked about. It needs to break that downtrend that it's now in. But in the meantime, you're going to continue to see the ignoring of these numbers, and you're going to see as I've showed you that chart in the past, where you see markets going up, 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 and then they have the new Peridium, and all of a sudden they start going down, and then they pop a little bit, and everybody goes, oh, everything's good, and then they collapse. That's the same market you're going to see. It's the same market you always see. It happens all the time. This is not new. It's not the first time it's going to happen. It will continue to happen, and just watch the data. You'll see. China warns ahead of trade war talks. Don't expect comprehensive deal whatsoever. Now, if you want to talk about a crack, there's one problem in this whole theory. Both countries need one another. Now, the United States could do without China if they had to. China cannot do without the United States. Okay. Not to mention that China is also our biggest debt holder. So they can make all the talk they want. And as you notice, the only thing that ever came up in any major trade war talk was sorghum. Okay, if you don't know what sorghum is, it's a grain that they use to feed animals with, and there's a million substitutes for them, and it's a very small crop. So that was like a symbolic gesture. It had nothing to do. Believe me, you can see by the way that commodities are being priced that it has no idea, no effect, and there's going to be a deal somewhere. The world wants its gold back from the U.S. They got a surprise. It ain't there. As I've said many, many times before, that's why I say to buy physical. When you want to buy gold, you buy physical. Why? Because at the end of the day, gold, paper gold, I don't think there's enough paper gold in the world to cover the amount of GLD and all those other ETFs out there. So that's why people are starting to grab onto it. This is just this is just another warning sign. This is a little bit of panic by some places, but we always ignore until it's too late. Nothing is new. Markets reprice faster than people expect. Of course they do. Why do you think that when the markets go down, they always go down so fast? That's when markets reprice themselves. I mean, this is not new. This is not something that never happened before. Markets always go down faster than they go up because when they're going up, nobody's panicking. The biggest panic you get when they go up is the fear of missing out. People chase it once in a while. But when they're going down, everybody's trying to get out, right? They're trying to duck for the head for the exits. Yeah, Nixon gave him all the gold, except for the stuff he put in his basement. Germany retail sales unexpected decline, fourth month, seventh time in 9 months. Again, now Germany is, they're supposed to be in pretty good shape. But their retail sales continue to decline. Again, these are just warning signs. These are just shots out there saying, hey, and believe me, I'm not telling you to get bearish or sell anything. I'm not selling any stock. And even if I wasn't hedged, I wouldn't be selling them either. Okay. Again, I'm invested what I can afford to invest and I'm trading with what I trade. But at the end of the day, okay, there's a million warning signs that they're saying, but again, you cannot time the market. That's the whole key. I can't tell you when all this is going to finally come into play. It could be tomorrow, but I will bet anybody pretzels. I bet any amount of money. Okay. That we see new lows before we ever see a new rally. And I don't mean new lows back to 08. I mean new lows from the February 6th, 9th period, which we're not that far. We could see those tomorrow. Yeah, Ford exits car business, but again, everybody wants a truck anyways, including me. Okay? Listen, I haven't driven a car, not even a rental car, for I can't tell you how long. I've been driving a truck since, I think, 1990. I would never buy a car. I hate cars. All right. Let's look at the world. Apple. Alpha, Alpha, Papa Lima. So we thought that you could look at 165, but we did say earnings. And, of course, it's – now, I am not going to make a trade in Apple for earnings. But if I were, I would be a buyer. Okay? Again, very oversold. Down at the bottom end of the range, okay, right near an area where we thought we'd want to buy it anyways. I'm not going to buy this. I don't, it's not down in the dumps far enough for me to want to do it, okay? The only way I would trade this is somewhat neutral if I was going to trade it at all, and I haven't decided yet if I'm going to trade it because the earnings aren't until tomorrow after the close. But without the thought of earnings tomorrow, I would look to be a buyer around probably 160-250 or so, and I'd be a seller probably about 170-250 to 180. All right, that's the range I would see. But again, it's actually got fairly a bullish looking pattern. It's kind of a little bit of an oblong rounding type bottom here. But again, I'm not going to play it to the long side. If I play it at all, it'll be the neutral side. But again, they're trying to price in as much bad news as they can. So, to me, I don't see a debacle coming here. I don't know if I can see a rally, but I don't see a debacle. So to me, I'd rather pass or play it neutral. Amba. Alpha Michael Bravo Alpha. Well, we said 46 to 52, and here we are, 46 again. We ride up, and we're back right back down again. I think 46 is still a reasonable level to go ahead and look at it. In fact, if 46 holds this time, it would actually be kind of bullish. And I would expect to see a run back to 50 or 52. All right. Really, what do you have here? Just a big consolidation. All right. The only concern would be if this fails, we fail somewhere, let's say around here, that might be ugly because then that would continue the top, lower high, and then if another lower high, that wouldn't be too pretty. But for now, I would still trade at 46 to 52. And you could sell, if you want, you can sell put spreads down here if that's what you want to do. Amazon, what an earnings report they had. Phew. My goodness. But again, they fail pretty miserably after the information. But again, that's typical. And you would have figured that. And somebody had asked me, would I play the blow off pattern, you know, on these earnings? And you can, but you need to have a position going in. So you could have a neutral position going in, and then you could play, but you have to know how to play the stock after hours, because that's the only way you could have capitalized on this was by trading it after hours. All right. But again, yes, you would play the blow off pattern. And even if it would have blown off, I mean, you could have actually done it as late as, you know, even Friday morning when it opened on new highs, you could have got into it. And either new highs or new lows, if it's that big of a move, you can always play the blow off pattern. Doesn't always work, but it's always playable. So now we've now seen the earnings. So that's out of the way. And really, when you look at the chart, okay, when you look at the whole big picture, what pattern are we in? We're in consolidation. So now, after sitting on our hands for quite a while and looking to try to trade these levels, I'm going to say that I would be a seller of this at 1600. Okay. Now, one of the problems with Amazon, it's very expensive. You know, those options are, you know, to trade them at the money, they're 30, 40 bucks. I mean, it's not a cheap trade. But certainly selling call spreads up there would be fine. And I know somebody who's on the call tonight had short put spreads into earnings. And I said, hold them. I thought they were okay. And they were great. They worked out terrific. But here, we're at the top end of consolidation. You want to trade, sell call spreads. Sell $5 spreads for $2. All right. You're going to get 40%. If you're wrong, you lose three. But that's the trade I would make. Okay. Up at around 1600, I'd be selling call spreads. Go down to 1350, I'd be selling put spreads.
And those are some of the trades you make and what we're looking at. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is sent to you by email every day on a little video link that tells you what I saw that day and what I'm looking for tomorrow. And don't forget also to download The Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm. This has been The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and everybody have a great day, and I hope you enjoyed yourself. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, right here on The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, have a great day, everybody. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.